Welcome back to Brass Tack Sunday. This is Sanka Price with you. My producer is another Mr. Ronald Clark. On the line is Mr. Ezra Aline, and Peter Wickham will be back with us very, very shortly. There are, of course, we finish at 1:15. I need to remind you of that. We have a number of calls on the line. I'll go straight to the phone lines, and then I'll come back to Mr. Aline and Mr. Wickham. You're on the air. Good afternoon.
First thing, is it true, I just heard on the news that this was the lowest turnout in the history of Barbados? That's the first question.
Yes, that is what we understand that it is. Peter is not here right now. He has some of those stats. But apparently, and I'm speaking under correction here, but apparently what happened was that, yes, there were a lot of people out there, but it took so long that a lot of people also left. And so there are a number of questions being asked about that now in other places.
I mean, well, based on the turnout, it kind of is irrelevant, no, but it would be nice to know that if it was indeed the lowest turnout, the question would be why. You would expect that people would want to make a change or make a difference or make whatever is happening remain. One way or the other, you'd have expected people to come out. So maybe you're right. Maybe it's because people were turning back. But I have to tell you the truth. There was a lady sitting down at the front, crossing off names, that was not inside the room. And it would be nice to know who put that lady there. This is in St. James South, at West Terrace. I had a lady sitting down in the chair, crossing off names. And I've never, ever seen that before. Apparently, it's happened other places as well. And it had a long queue, and people just got frustrated and turned around and went back out. So that would be nice to find out. But the other question is, and this probably is more directed at Peter again, if there is to be a study, you know, you can help out. If there is to be a study, there needs to be a study, because you believe in radio and promotion. You work in the media, so you understand how this media advertising thing works. There needs to be a study done on the result at the poll when compared to the amount of money spent in advertising. Because you all talk about, you know, you talk about maybe it's a sentiment of the people and stuff.
Who says
maybe
something that isn't being done?
You know, no, it isn't being done. You need to know how much money these men spend in promotion.
That wouldn't surprise me. But what I suspect,
because it makes you look good. It means advertise. If you want to win, you have to advertise. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you know? But what I was saying. Sorry to cut across you there just now, because our wires got crossed there a minute.
Okay.
I suspect that what is done, in fact, I'm sure what is done, is that you look at your media spend, and then you look at your impact, and you always try to ask yourself, did you get the bang for the buck?
Yeah.
And that is something that is normally done, not only by a political party, but that is normally done by any business or anything that you're trying to, when you're doing involved in marketing.
Yeah.
But your friend, your person you like to torment most is back, Mr. Peter Wickham.
All right.
And this is Mr. Anthony America, and he wants to talk about, in fact, you tell him.
Well, okay, let me go with the second question first, because you were trying to circumnavigating that thing. I'm just saying, if you want to do a study, Peter, you want like doing these studies and stuff, find out how much, because the new party's got 1.5% or 2%, which is probably
good for. 4%.
They got 4%.
Yeah.
And they spent... Maybe compared
I should point out that I expected them to do at best two, so they doubled my expectations.
They've actually done better. Agreed. Yeah. Okay. But the thing is that if you can relate that to the amount of money that they have spent, I'm sure they would tell you how much money they spent in advertising and promotion. It was virtually next to nothing. So that effort, based on the fact that they've actually spent little or nothing on advertising other than door-to-door knocking and actually doing the hard work canvassing, compared to the larger parties, which would have spent millions to get their... you know, they're 30% and 40%. If you can spend on advertising and results at the poll, maybe people will be better prepared to understand why it is that your parties don't.
Auntie
do
America, I have made the point over and over to my clients as political parties that half of the money that they spend in the campaign is wasted.
Okay, so how do you know the amount that they've wasted?
I don't know, but the point is that I can't find out the amount. I had done a study. for the OAS many years ago. It was published on the net, too. They always use it and say that that is when I give information to the Americans. But I had done an OAS study on party financing, in which at that time, the Democratic Labour Party and Barbados Labour Party claimed, I think it was 2003, that they spent somewhere in the vicinity of $1.5 million apiece. And that was the best information that the treasurer of both parties were able to give. I have not been able to get information like that from political parties since. So let's say in that area, it was around $3 million that they spent. Because half of the time, the parties don't know how much they spent. A lot of that money was spent on advertising. And I was of the opinion that a lot of that money was wasted. Now, that was before social media. But in those days, you would have five or six. When you have one newspaper ad, and then you put three or four newspaper ads, a lot of it is lost.
Right.
And you know, this time the problem was the social media. A lot of it got lost in translation. And I am not convinced it works. The other thing that I have a problem with, sir, is the paraphernalia. The posters and the T-shirts and the placards and the banners and whatnot. Yes. I do not
and
like
that
it.
Costs money.
Right, but the problem is that the problem
is
right precisely. But the problem is that when I tell my clients, I don't think it makes sense to go and do all of this. They tell me, but then the other person will do it, and what will happen?
Right, but the thing about it is, I mean, what it all leads to is the fact that in order to get that kind of money, you need to give out favors. You know, you need to put money in, so you.
Yeah, we all understand that.
Right.
All right, let's get Ezra Aline in here since he was involved in
a couple of campaigns,
and he actually won a seat.
Well, yeah, okay, so maybe you can give us an idea as to the amount of money that has actually spent or could have been spent this year, this time around.
Well,
he ain't gonna know.
No, I don't know.
Give me a guesstimate.
You can't get a guesstimate, man. He's a lawyer. You know he ain't going to commit himself to that. So.
In 1976, I hardly spent any money on my personal campaign. Mm-hmm. In fact, I used to get ragged on the basis that
you were cheap.
But I didn't believe that we should buy the seat.
Rich but cheap.
I simply put my position out there, and you either bought the arguments I was producing or you didn't buy them.
And you know, Ezra, the fascinating thing, I live in Mia Motley's constituency, right? And I can say without fear of contradiction that she does not spend any money in the constituency.
Precisely.
Oh, dear.
She doesn't. And the point is that she doesn't need to. I remember Errol Barrow, the same thing. Yeah. Errol Barrow never held political meetings. Errol Barrow used to print calendars at Christmas, and somebody would pass and hand them out. And those calendars, sometimes 2-3 years, people got them out, kind of sitting waiting for the next one. You know, I don't know if Mia does calendars. Sometimes at Christmas she would do punch or creme, and some of the faithful few would get her bottle. But the reality is that the candidates that win up in those high figures, and I'm sure that Owen Arthur is no different, and David Thompson.
No, but you see, the campaign
they don't spend
the
money.
Where the campaign funds are spent is determined by the Prime Minister. And they would normally spend that money in the areas where they would expect the candidates require the most, where the candidates have required the most help.
Right, but look at Northwest then, for example, right? Down by Chris. I am sure that a lot of money was spent in that constituency. Unfortunately, it didn't work out this time. But last time around, one could argue that it reaped benefits because he was one of the highest performers.
Right. So the question then is, I mean, really success is based on the amount of money that you spend. There's a relationship
to
between the amount of money spent. And it would be nice to know about that. Just because the newer parties, I can tell you the truth, you know, I was putting up, helping out these guys on all of them.
Which party? Which new party?
All of them. You know, I say, man, look, we don't have no opposition. I had already predicted the opposition was going to be zero. So I just wanted to make
but
sure.
But then why you didn't say that so that I would get a little help in terms of
but
what
no,
I was saying?
But no, because you didn't want to somehow jinx the people going forward, you know. So you want to help. The idea was to help the new parties, and I suspect the new parties will have an even better chance at the next in 5 years' time.
Not at all.
You don't think so?
I don't think that after these here, I'm sure they're not going to make it. What is
they
it's not
to
making
spend in promotion,
sense?
If they would spend in promotion, but they need money to spend in promotion and putting up, you may think it's not relevant, but repetition when it comes to advertising does, in fact, eventually stick in people's minds. You see the thing over and over again, you become accustomed to seeing it.
You know what I'm going to suggest to you that you do?
What? Help the other side?
I am shortly expecting that the Barbados Labour Party is going to start constitutional reform. Indeed, this has already started.
But,
right?
You know.
So what you need to do now is you guys need to form a lobby that we start to look at national representatives. And I believe that if we started to have national representatives, and Leroy McLean has spoken of it, I've spoken of it. It's a model that's used in the British Virgin Islands in Tortola, where you have at-large representatives or national representatives. It's another layer of representation. But I think it would capture a lot of the concerns that you have. Because if you have people running nationally, people like your leader, Lynette Eastman, there will be an opportunity for her.
My leader, I'm begging the question. Look, my look, let's start it off.
Who is your leader then, Natalie? Which one is the
independent? My leader could only right now be Mia Motley. I mean, I ain't got a choice but that.
So not Natalie.
But you know, the truth, talk about Natalie would somehow be included in this particular campaignable.
And I see no reason why not.
Right, right. But the thing is that what I would have thought, okay, is that as a constitutional measure, the size of the cabinet would be set, you know, this over the
I said that
cabinet.
At the beginning.
But already
today.
Know that done out the question, that right. out the window.
Because you have to, listen, you have to be true to the politics. And then, first and foremost, as Ezra has said, as I have said, I like the idea of limiting the cabinet size to 20, as it's done in Cayman Islands. Not 8, 20. But the point is that you cannot do that in our system in a situation where if you do that, it will impact on the integrity of the current BLP administration, and that's just not working. The politics has to come first, because it's the politics that allow you to do the other thing. So I'm saying that for me, constitutional reform that allows for the participation of sectors that are not part of this 70-something percent that support the Barbados Labour Party is what's important. Because right. I believe that all of those voices also have a right to be heard. So how do we get mechanisms to bring them to the table and to allow them to have conversations about what's going on nationally?
Agreed. You have a tripartite thing that Richard and Truly, you really didn't need it if you had a proper Senate working. So really, all the things you're talking about is a recomposition of the Senate. And if that is something that you think that we should be pushing, well then, therefore, let's do that. But tell you the truth, we tried that about 20 years ago when there was this great move by, Henry Ford. Mm-hmm. And this commission to have the whole thing redone. And it took 5 years to study it, another 5 years not to implement it. So
let's hope this time that there will be significant changes. But sir, we got to go because we got so many calls. Thank you very much for your contribution. Good afternoon. You're on the air. This is Brass Tack Sunday. Yes, turn your radio down, sir. Yes.
Hello?
Yes, let's go. You're on the air, sir.
Hi, sorry, Frank.
Yes, it is.
Hi, sorry about that. You said that in the IMF report said that our imports went as low as 1.6 weeks.
I think it's 1. I didn't say weeks. It's 1.6 months.
Yeah, you said that earlier. 1.6 months.
Let me just check the article. Hold on. Mm-hmm. It was September. September 2017, September last year, it was 274.8 million or 1.6 months of imports.
1.6 months? That is what?
That's what the report said, yeah. Well, okay. 5-6 weeks. Yeah.
Okay. All right. This is my advice. I first want to commend the former Prime Minister, Mr. Stewart, for the interview he did tonight. I thought he was very brave and courageous. He said it, he took it like a man.
You had a choice. What are you
I was also amazed too that the other covers did not turn up to back him. Now,
that doesn't surprise me either.
this is my piece of advice.
If somebody leads you into a defeat like that, but what are you going to stand behind them for?
So he led them into defeat purposely?
No, I'm not saying purposely, but led them into defeat.
All right, but this
anyhow,
is
sorry,
piece of
let me
advice,
interrupt you.
Peter, this might be the advice for the Democratic Party in the future, right? And if they don't watch themselves, that party is going to become a party of the future. Because if they do not start blooding some young blood now for the future of that party, they're going to have lots of problems attracting young, bright people to that party. Mm-hmm. Because me as a parent, if my child had to come to me and say, tomorrow, daddy, you know, I was thinking about joining a political party, and he mentioned me the Democratic Labour Party, I, as a parent, would honestly say to him, I don't think you head in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. But why not?
But that's the best party to be in, though.
The Democratic Labour Party has a rich history, so why would you take that?
Let me tell you why, Sanger, mm-hmm. and Leroy McLean said it yesterday, the day before. The Democratic Labour Party is now, this is the second term. The second time between 87 and 94 and 2008 and 18 that they will be remembered as a party of failure. Mm-hmm. Cannot deny it.
But the point,
cannot deny it.
Sir, from a practical perspective, I think right now the DLP represents a brighter prospect for an aspiring and talented politician than the Barbados Labour Party. Because the Barbados Labour Party right now has so much talent. When you look at that cabinet, you could identify two or three new leaders. Right now, the DLP is open. So I would say if your son or daughter came to you, I would tell them, by all means, you know, try to get involved in DLP politics, because right now you have one of 30 seats to choose from. And earlier I said I would not go back with none of them.
And please let me remind you, Lionel Craig, the late Lionel Craig, always made the point that the day after the defeat of the Barbados Labour Party, that is when he joined. This is 1961. That is when Barbados Labour Party. He always made that point, huh?
But who do you like, sir? Who do you like though in terms of BLP politics? No, DLP politics. Who do you think would be the kind of person you would like to see take the reins of the organization and carry
it
forward?
It is very hard to identify anyone.
I have two names of people that I like. You right?
Tell me the two.
I like Simon Allen. Right. Mm-hmm. Simon Allen, to me, his speech at the beginning of the last campaign, when he spoke at the opening, it represented to me the zenith of the Democratic Labour Party speakers that night, Prime Minister included. So I would say that he is in pole position from my perspective. The problem is that he's a teacher, so he can't be involved in their politics. But my hope is that he will step in now that the remainder of them have stepped out. The other person I like is Harry Husbands Jr. Now, let's be clear, there's three Harry Husbands. Huh?
Harry Husbands Jr.
This is the young lawyer who just came out. He's
very
also
talented
a talented and exciting mm-hmm. prospect. I've spoken to him on the radio a few times. And I have to admit that when I spoke to him privately, I advised him to hold his interest in the DLP for now and let it come to the fore. So you have two young politicians potentially there. And I'm saying that to me should be the focus of attention within the Democratic Labour Party. How are you going to position people like that? Now, if I had a choice to make, I would put you two of them in the Senate.
Well,
shake up things a bit.
That would be a good choice. Thank you. As I said just now, me personally, I find it hard to believe that young, bright people right now will be attracted to go to the Democratic Labour Party. Because from where I sit, I see that party being in opposition at least a minimum of three terms. So it's going to be very difficult to persuade young people to join the Democratic Labour Party.
He's how old? He's 20-something years old?
Yes, and he's a very sharp chap.
He's got a long time ahead of him.
So Peter, what about Mr. Sinclair?
Which, Chris Sinclair?
Yeah.
But sir, I said earlier, I think that none of those individuals have earned the right to sit at the table. So let's start fresh. I don't know whether Mrs. Sinclair has a very bright daughter that I think just got a Barbados exhibition, and I mean maybe she might be the kind of stuff that we're looking for. But I think he himself.
I want to sign off on this one, right? I will let the public of Barbados, to be very honest, to let them to remember that they're all Barbadians and to give them a little break now. The election is over and finished. Mm-hmm. And the truth is they have been tortured on social media. Just give them a little break now. Thank you.
All right, sir. Thank you very much. Gentlemen, but let's, Ezra and Peter, let's look at the Senate appointments. We have Senator Kay McConney. We spoke on this very briefly. The Senator Lucille Moore. Jerome Walker, of course, is a known quantity. From the last cabinet. But the one that I was interested in, Ezra, you and I spoke on this very briefly. Rodham Adams.
Oh, yes.
And we have now an Adams back in the House of back in Parliament.
Well, a Barbadian. And
yes, he's a Barbadian, but the fact is that Cynthia Ford, this should be her last term. Is it possible that we'll see another Adams running in St. Thomas?
I would not write off Cynthia Ford yet, but I would tell you this. Rodden Adams has enormous political potential, and I'm happy that we're looking to the future by blooding these young Labourites, because the party has a future apart from the experienced heads. And that is the same argument for putting young high husbands in the Senate for the other side. He's a very sharp young man. I had the honor of teaching him, and he's very serious about politics. Mm-hmm. He does not stand for nonsense. In 15 years' time, he might be ready to, I don't know.
As I said, 15?
Yes, because you have to go through a process of regeneration, yeah. Mm-hmm. But he's a very smart young man.
I noticed that the Barbados Labour Party has also put in the Senate young Desmond Sands. Damien Sands.
Yes, politics is in his blood. Yes. I hate to use the expression bloodline, but he is a serious young politician.
Yes, because his grandfather
absolutely
was a member of parliament. His father made an attempt, unsuccessful bid. And I think he's now the president of the Young Socialists, huh?
Yeah, yep. Something like that.
He's an interesting fellow. These people have passed through my hands, so I know them well.
If we can also look at some of the other choices in the cabinet, one of the choices that I am extremely excited about is Colin Jordan as Minister of Labour and Social Partnership Relations. I think that is an excellent choice because he is a communicator. He's the type of person I think would help bring the social partnership together. Uh-huh. And why I'm focusing on that is because, quite frankly, everybody needs to work together to dig us out of the hole that we're in. And the social partnership that is the private sector and the trade unions, having that dialogue is going to be key in getting this country back together.